separation? What do you do? What happens if adultery takes place in your marriage? What about marriage? How does God look at it from his viewpoint, not from our viewpoint? And how about reconciliation? You give all these biblical examples with charts in the back of the book to show us how God has dealt with various people in the Bible on this issue. Very, very good, very, very helpful, very simple. Nobody can go away and say, I didn't understand. Your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries, friend, is going to put the book, Because of a Covenant, in your hands. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Maybe you have a friend or a relative that's struggling in this area. You know that. Get the book. Give it to them. It may be the best gift you ever gave them. It may be the very best gift you ever gave them. Save their life. Save their marriage, perhaps. Save them for eternity and their relationship with Jesus because of a covenant. Right on our website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org. And I want to make available to you, on our website, we have a series of fact sheets. You can find them under fact sheets right there on the home page. And if you'll go there, you'll find about six of them. And there are three of them that are pertinent to this subject here today. One is called The State of the Marital Union. Christianity Today called marriage a crumbling institution. Wow. A crumbling institution. Then, we also have a fact sheet called The Sexual Seduction of the Union, a sexual portrait of American life. You really have to get a hold of that. And then also we have one entitled A Portrait of the Black Family that Ebony Magazine said the black family has crumbled more in the last 30 years than it did in the entire 14 decades since slavery. And did you know that the divorce rate in the African-American community is higher than in all other communities in this country? It's astounding. It's as if it no longer matters. We're on the near edge of the second coming, friends, and it's time that we take these things seriously. Feel free to go to our website, the fact sheets, print them out, use them, pass them out in your Sunday school class, pass them out to your pastor. Get a copy of the book, Because of a Covenant. I hope that you'll come clean before God today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, friends. And today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but you've got to confess it. Come clean before him. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 232.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Deborah Tavares, and we're going to be talking about the subject of smart meters and really what's behind everything that's going on today. Well, let me tell you about smart meters. The purpose of smart meters is to run up your electric bill. Now, a lot of people say, gee, they put in the smart meter and my electric bill went up, and so it's not working right. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's working just fine. They want to run up your cost of electricity. That's why we're, of course, shifting from cheap and efficient electricity. That's why we're not using the hydroelectric power. We're tearing the dams out because they want to run up the cost of electricity. That's why, of course, they're doing everything they can to block the construction of coal-powered plants and there's certainly natural gas plants. They want to switch over to solar energy and wind energy, costs you three or four times as much. Not only that, but you're going to have to go ahead and put in long lines to bring that electricity into the grid. It's going to run up the cost. They want to raise the price of electricity because, of course, they want to force energy dependent industries out of this country into other countries. And, of course, they're shifting intentionally our jobs overseas. We've already closed down 40,000, 42,000 businesses in the last 11 years, and a lot of those have moved overseas. And then, of course, we've lost almost 8.5 million jobs simply related to globalism, in addition to all those we've lost because of the recession. They know exactly what they're doing. I mean, why do you think that every other country can have nuclear power, but we can't? That every other country knows to do it with the spent nuclear fuel, but we have no idea? Ladies and gentlemen, they're lying to us. And, of course, this is all part of a much larger plan. By raising the cost of electricity, they're going to manipulate you into using less so they can lower your standard of living. Deborah, how did you get involved in this whole incredible story of the smart meters?
Well, it certainly mushrooms from just an inane phone call from a tenant that rents from us in an apartment complex. They expressed their concern about the smart meters that were going to be attached to their unit. And in particular, that unit has a number of electric meters currently on that building wall. And at the time, I have to admit, I knew nothing about the smart meters. But the concern expressed by the tenant sounded a little litigious to me. So I went to the electric company, and I thought, because we are land developers, we've been land developers for a number of decades, and typically in development you supply an environmental impact study in the course of doing any work or doing any project that would, of course, show that there is no negative impact on anybody resulting from your intended work. Well, I went to the utility company expecting I would just get a report and highlight a couple of pages that would ease the tenant's mind about this smart meter. Well, I found out that there is no such report. In fact, it was waived. And I became quite concerned because the utility company told me that this was too small of a project to require a report. Of course, I knew that to be suspicious.
I mean, they've been going on all across the state. It's too small to require a report.
Well, that's what I was told, and that's where my suspicion started. And from there, I went to the California Public Utility Commission to verify that. And indeed, the study was waived. And I became more alarmed because in checking with our insurance carrier, there's no environmental insurance coverage should any claims arise. And in my further research, I found that there is radiation involved with this that is cumulative as we connect to this grid mesh network that the smart meter represents. More concerning became...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Deborah talking about smart meters. Deborah, you go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. A greater concern came to me when I was told that the smart meter attachment on our homes became a continuous open channel, 24/7, 365, and the requests of information on each particular home can be made independently. In other words, each home connects independently with the utility company, and the utility company can request more reads on a particular home, and that is a concern because that would, of course, amplify the amount of radiation through those requests for the reads. And it just became very legal, serious issues raised by the concerns that people, you know, were expressing that reached constitutional natures in the sense that it was a real emergency that the corporations licensed by our government to deliver energy throughout the state, they're running roughshod over us. And we're the people they're supposed to be serving.
Well, now, basically, of course, the whole thing is run by the PUC, Public Utilities Commission. Did you find out what was their attitude towards this? Because this is obviously an intentional effort to run up the cost of electricity. That's what it's all about, and that's working very effectively. But what about the PUC? They're supposed to be the intermediary to protect us from the wiles of the public utilities, whether it be PG&E or Southern Bell, whatever it is, San Diego, whatever it is down south.
Well, the Public Utility Commission has said that they mandated it, but they never mandated the wireless application. But that was something that PG&E proposed to them, and they agreed. And PG&E is, of course, saying they're mandated to implement the system.
But this is a nationwide system. This is what people really don't understand. There is a master plan, and it's being implemented all across America. They've never told anybody, they told the average individual, there's a master plan for energy, there's a master plan to create energy shortages, there's a master plan not to develop the oil, rather extensive oil resources we have here and up in Alaska. There's an organized effort to make us dependent upon other nations for energy, and you can't have a first world nation unless you have adequate energy supplies.
Exactly, and I will tell you that under the United Nations Agenda 21 Smart Grid, you will see the contributors of some of the utility companies, non-governmental funds, directed towards reducing the carbon footprint, and this is the guise in which this is going forward. And
all right, you hold that thought, and we're going to be back here in just a moment with Deborah Tavares. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Deborah is really saying that the smart meters is all part of a nationwide program, and there is a program dealing with smart meters, and we'll be talking about smart appliances later on, but it is all part of a nationwide, not a local program, but a nationwide, probably even an international program. But right here, what concerns us is what's going on in America. It's part of something called Agenda 21. It is the secret plan, not secret, you can find out about it if you want to look at it, but most people are so busy and being concerned about Tiger Woods and about Paris Hilton and other really important issues that they stress on the media, that they never tell us that there is a master plan that is going to transform our lives. And there is the whole idea is changing the status of our living, increasing government power over our lives, certainly moving people out of their homes if they're out in the rural areas, forcing them by one guise or another into cities, getting them to restrict their use of water, getting them to restrict their use of electricity, and then, of course, this whole scam of so-called global warming. Well, of course, if you live most places, and at least out here on the West Coast, you probably don't believe in global warming. You're wondering where Al Gore is. Why isn't he warming the things up for us? Because the whole idea is that carbon dioxide, which makes up 0.038 thousandths of a percent, 38 thousandths of a percent of the atmosphere, is somehow producing global warming. It doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it over and over and over and over and over again, people will believe. We know that the CO2 levels have been far higher many times in the past than they are at the present time, but that doesn't matter what reality is. All of this is being done in the name of limiting the carbon footprint, and that's why we've got to limit our consumption of electricity, and we've got to lower our living standards and drive the industrial companies out of this country that are energy dependent, and of course run up the cost of electricity so that other companies will leave because they want to transfer our industrial potential to other countries, and without ready access to energy, why, of course, we're not going to be able to maintain an industrialized society. And some people think that would be really far better off. But you go right ahead, Deborah.
Well, this is an SOS from California. We are close to 70% deployed by our electric company up here in Northern California. Many, many folks at this point are doing lockups on their current analog meters so that they cannot change out the smart meter. Folks are concerned of vandalism, and so they are covering their meters up with lockable components. Folks are taking measures to secure their analog meters here. We have been asking, we have gotten signs out. If you go to refusesmartmeter.com, you'll see a number of videos and yard signs and ways in which we've been warning and alerting our neighbors. Folks just do not realize the seriousness of what this smart meter will do to you on your home. And once it's on, they are not taking it off. However, we also have two citizen actions that are also on the website that can be downloaded. If you already have a smart meter, you can do something about it. And again, go to refusesmartmeter.com and download that. We also have another file that if you do not yet have a smart meter, you can also do something about that. There are instructions on how you file this. It is, of course, presented for California. Make whatever adjustments you need to this paperwork in the state that you're in, but you can file a small claims court action if you have a smart meter, and there are a number of courses of actions that are listed for you to consider utilizing in your paperwork. And I want to also say that last week, two mothers were arrested in Northern California for opposing the smart meters, and this was the first two arrests in the nation about smart meters. The anxiety, the remorse, people are getting sick. We're hearing about people that are suddenly having increased symptoms. They are realizing that their headaches and sleep disturbances and fatigue. A lot of folks are getting ear pain and high-pitched ear ringing, heart palpitations, a lot of noticed anxiety, of course, with difficulty concentrating, and many other explained symptoms after the smart meters were installed on their homes. We had one employee in the Southern California area divulge to us that one in every 600 homes approximately gets something larger, slightly larger than a smart meter, and it's a miniature cell phone. It's a miniature cell tower. It serves as a collection device for the 599 homes roughly in that area. The people whose home this is attached to does not know that they have this additional component attached, and their home is being bathed by all of that radiation that's coming upon them. That location on a particular home is based on where the meter is located. They don't want it behind locked gates or where there's pets. They want something that's close to the front of the property. There is a phone number attached to that particular meter. The people are unaware. They are not told, and I understand there's a negligible amount of electricity attributed to that meter as well, and the person is selected if they are a good-paying customer. That is the reward for a good-paying customer, dependent on where your meter is located. This is what we're being told. Also, there have been some union letters going out warning their union folks that and their fellow workers, and they say that they have very important information about the smart meter program, of which many of their members are involved. They say there are serious safety concerns for both their workers from the technology as well as the shared communities. They have a packet. They claim that the utility companies are lying to them about the RF exposure and safety standards, and they have a letter attached with all supportive backup warning these union employees of the consequences of installing and working with this equipment. I have talked to a couple of employees that do work for utility companies that have had headaches and unusual symptoms because they did not know that this RF factor in the installations and being around, even the follow-up of these meters to check on the accuracy and being around them, the exposure has caused them problems. This is becoming a huge, huge issue here in Northern California, and this serves as an SOS to the rest of the country. Please go to refusesmartmeter.com. Look at some of the various links there, please. Don't let this get wrapped around you to the extent that it has in California. If anything California can do right now, it's to advise you of the dire straits that we are in. This is an octopus around our necks. It is increased radiation, untested, and we are getting sick, and our bills are going up, and our privacy is being invaded because RF chips will be required in all of the new appliances that are rolling out in 2012 and will be required in our homes, along with changing out our electrical outlet plugs. Fannie Mae purchased the patent and for the outlet plugs, and this will require at some point, even our small appliances will have to comply. Otherwise, you can't plug them in the lockable outlets, mind you. This is a takeover of our privacy in our homes. This is exceeding the easement rights that the utility companies have to service their equipment. When they data mine our use and living in our homes, they can tell if you are home, if you are not home. They expect that potential robberies can increase because they'll know what you're doing, when you're doing. And this is also a habit-changing opportunity for people to lower their cost by utilizing their utilities and living their lives in their homes between hours that the tiered level of pricing goes down. The utility companies have a tiered level of pricing. People and customers will be punished for using their appliances when they come home from work, for example, when the rates are higher than at non-peak hours, early morning hours, and the like. They claim they're setting this up so that our electric cars can plug in and charge at night during off-peak hours, and that, again, we're going to reduce the carbon footprint. They will not have to build more energy plants that they claim are dirty. And this is all deceptive lies that they are telling us. We do not and have not been told the entire story. The radiation is making us sick. So I plead for all of you, please go to RefuseSmartMeter.com. Look at the links. Google United Nations Agenda 21 Smart Grid. Become familiar with the other aspects of this hideous, deceptive crime that they're perpetrating on all of us. Don't let this creep in over your threshold. Do not wait for your city council or your county board of supervisors to take action for you. Although many California cities and counties have banned or placed moratoriums for the smart meters, the utility companies are rolling in over these cities and counties claiming that they don't have the right to request a moratorium. And we're at the point right now here in Northern California where we are getting pleas from other towns north of us because these trucks are rolling in. What has happened here is that our local utility company, as most probably with most utility companies nationwide, have hired an outside contractor to implement these meters. So they will not be the normal trucks that you all might be familiar with seeing. Out here in California, Wellington Energy, a company out of Pennsylvania, is installing the smart meters.
But I think it's so important. People begin to see this as part of a bigger whole idea. Basically, they're going to have these smart chips and all of your appliances. You'll be under one guise or another, get on these additional appliances. Then, of course, if you're using the wrong time of day, they'll be able to turn them off. If you are using too much in the way of heat in your when they don't want you to use it during peak time, they'll turn off your heat. They'll turn off your air conditioner. It's all about somebody else regulating your life. This is what it's all about. All based upon the phony precept of that the 0.03 thousandths of a percent of the CO2 in the atmosphere is creating global warming. As Goring said, a lie told often enough, doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, people will believe. We'll be right back. Well, Deborah, how real the radiation? Now, certainly, I think probably some people are much more sensitive to it than others. Is it possible that some people get more of a reaction to the radiation than others?
Absolutely. We're here.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
They'll see a toggle, and it'll be identified as the dark side of smart meters.
Well, what does it basically say? I mean, certainly you talk about the cumulative effect because of homes are very close to one another. Well, you not only get your own radiation, you get all the radiation from all the people all around you.
Yes, that is correct. And it's a biosphere, and it is accumulative. It will have the connection of all of the chipped appliances also. And it will be immeasurable, and certainly at this point, without even the adaptation of all of the chips, there is enormous chronicled scientists that are absolutely saying that this is greatly beyond what we can have as a human being.
Now, basically, you were talking about this Copenhagen...
I was.
What was this all about? Was this the good guys putting this out? Was this the bad guys? Who was putting this out? And what did they basically say in this Copenhagen Declaration?
Well, it was the Copenhagen Resolution, and it was regarding the dark side of the wireless society. And it was on October 9th of 2010 that the resolution was passed at the conference. And it was signed, and they had a number of demands on this. And one of the demands, as I mentioned, was to minimize it on vulnerable groups like schools, et cetera, and public transport. Also, an email that we received from a fella in the Netherlands said that they were considering if people were to refuse the meter, that they would be committing an economic crime and that it could be up to a six-month prison sentence.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, this is a worldwide program. People don't understand that Agenda 21 is the world agenda for 21 by the elitists who know what's good for you. I mean, certainly they're not going to have to limit their electricity. Certainly Al Gore has a big mansion, and he uses about 10 times as much electricity as anybody else around. But you see, Al Gore, and he was one of the people who really there on Prince Charles's yacht back in 1992, before the Second Earth Summit, laid out this whole scheme. And it is a coordinated scheme by a group of very wealthy people who know what's best for you. And the first thing they had to do was convince you that global warming was a reality. The snows of Kilimanjaro were melting. The glaciers are melting in Antarctica and the Kursiti. The sea levels are rising. In fact, pretty soon you won't even be able to see the top of the Empire State Building. I've seen actually diagrams in our school books used by our school kids, and you see New York on nothing but a sea of water, and then you just see sticking above the top of it the Empire State Building. And children are conditioned to believe these lies, told often enough why they really believe global warming is a reality, or it's getting warmer and warmer, and, well, I think it has increased in temperature about a degree or two since the 1600s. We are in a phase of global warming, but right now they're talking about global cooling, but you see, that's still responsible for CO2. CO2 did that because CO2 causes climate change. And so when they get caught in a lie, they simply change the terminology. But it is all this program. Now, in Denmark, certainly, what sort of problems are they having over in Denmark with the people who are getting these installed? Do you have any idea?
Well, I don't know specifically in Denmark. I know that they're being installed worldwide. I know that recently at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, folks can Google that. There was a meeting a few months ago. They brought in scientists and PhDs from all over the world to talk about the documented peer-reviewed studies that do indeed show that the radiation from all of this wireless technology is causing damage to the DNA strands. And it's quite alarming. I also want to say that we have some good news today, and that's in Northern California, in Marin, which is just about 20 minutes north of San Francisco. The County Board of Supervisors evoked a one-year moratorium on smart meters. So we have probably now about 22 cities and counties combined in the Northern California area requesting bans and moratoriums on the smart meter.
Yes, but what about PG&E? I mean, they just run roughshod over what the people want. I mean, this is part of a bigger, much bigger program, certainly much bigger than any little county or any little city or any state. This is an international program to transform the use of energy, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. And it has more sinister underbelly than even that, and I think folks need to Google United Nations Agenda 21. Take a look at the further intentions of the exposures of types of radiation and other exposures.
Do they talk about the danger there?
Absolutely they do.
All right, fine. Well, again, name it. Our guest is Deborah Tavares. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the field, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful. For
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and basically, of course, we're talking with Deborah Tavares about the smart meters. And, of course, this worldwide program, most people think it's just PG&E, our local crazy utility doing these things. But there is a much larger agenda. So you go right ahead, Deborah. You were mentioning the United Nations has information on the potential danger of the smart meters. What's that all about?
Well, yes. The United Nations Agenda 21 smart grid, folks need to look into that for themselves. It was very alarming and distressing for my family to have to really look at the intentions here, the radiation intentions, actually, and the population control aspect of what that agenda means as well. Again, it's United Nations Agenda 21, and then go to smart grid.
The smart grid, of course, this is basically, it's much more than the smart meter. It has to do with all electric and electric provisions and companies. Is that right?
Well, that is true, and I want to say that the corporations deny the harm. But many of the well-known doctors and scientists are saying that the radiation emitted by much of the wireless technology is linked to DNA damage and cancer, neurological diseases, definitely harm to sperm counts, and impact on fertility. And it also impacts the neurological function, including cognition and behavior performance. And they suggest even mood status and disruption of sleep are, again, among the many aspects of harm that this is causing us. And it's falling on deaf ears. I can say that many of the cities that we've already gone to that refuse to enact any kind of a moratorium are not hearing the scientific information, the tears streaming down the face of the citizens there requesting a moratorium, because this is a bigger agenda.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Deborah Tavares. We're talking about smart meters. We're talking about smart grid. We're talking about smart appliances. Well, I mean, after all, who could want a dumb grid or a dumb appliance or a dumb meter? They use the term smart, because it has a certain connotation. They want smart growth. They want to get you out of your home. They want to get you into a little sustainable community, a little sustainable building, where apartment where you can be monitored, where, of course, you won't have to be using your car. You won't be consuming a lot of fuel. You can certainly work on the first floor. You can shop on the ground floor. And these are what's known as sustainable communities. This has all been calculated by the elite, who know what's best for us common people. People say, well, this couldn't be going on if it were. Why, of course, Rush Limbaugh would tell us, or would he? Well, I always like to say I think Rush is, I love him, he's entertaining, he's the finest conservative that money could buy. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, I want Deborah to give her website so people will know how to get in touch with her.
Yes, it's refusesmartmeter.com. Again, there's some valuable information there. We are opening a national website. It should be up and running. It is going to be nosmartmeter.org. And that will be loaded with all of the forms that you can currently download off of Refuse Smart Meter to oppose the meter if you don't yet have it, or to file a small claims court action if you do have the meter. I want to just say, too, that Dr. McCullough has linked mercury and electromagnetic fields with autism. And we know autism is in an avalanche increase in the United States and actually worldwide. And it is now 1 in 63 children are born on the autistic spectrum.
That's 1 in 63 boys.
That is.
Right.
Yes.
It's much more common in boys, about 1 in 95 to 100 children, but 1 in 66 boys. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious problem. And what are the scientific, do you have links at your website to the scientific studies on the dangers of this? Of course, we know, for instance, that cell phones will actually affect the DNA structure. In fact, the University of Washington, they did a study up there. They were actually threatened, and they put this in their alumni bulletin, which we have. The University of Washington was threatened. for daring to bring out the truth about the dangers of cell phones. Occasional use of a cell phone isn't going to get you into a problem, but you see these people on the cell phones all the time. And, of course, every cell phone is certainly emitting electricity, and electricity can change the DNA structure of your brain, of your body. We'll go right ahead.
Yes, if people Google smart meters, they will be able to pick up many other sites where they can look at many of the studies that are currently available. There are over 4,000 scientific studies published since the 20s documenting the health effects from the microwave radiation, and the utility companies have systematically been avoiding these published studies. And again, all the studies that should have been required were waived. That is huge suspicion, particularly in light of the fact of all the studies that are indeed showing that people are getting ill, and we are getting ill here in Northern California. Many folks that were otherwise able to be outspoken have not been able to even leave their homes because they can't go into the communities where the smart meters are installed. There is one woman whose elderly father lives in a town where there are many, many smart meters, and she can't go and visit him because she's so highly sensitive to the radiation that's emitted in that area. The stories are heartbreaking, and they're increasing every single day. So again, this is an SOS from California. Please stop the smart meters at your door. We're relying on you to get this untangled from California, because if all of the other states can avoid it and prevent it and lock your analog meters up as a consideration so that they can't take them off, again, this hit us stealthily and deceptively. And I know that they're being installed in other large cities because the Obama administration released $3.4 million of stimulus funds to go ahead and implement these as quickly as possible. Keep in mind, that's printed money. Why would so much printed money go to stealthily and deceptively install this kind of technology that is causing harm? One has to also wonder about that. No studies, printed money, rapid implementation, and stealthful and deceptive without telling us the whole story. So I urge every single one of you, do a little bit of homework on this. Google smart meters. Go to refusesmartmeter.com. Get more information. There's more links there. Watch The Dark Side of Smart Meters and become a little bit educated and prevent it at your doorstep. People will turn around and they'll say, we were gone to work, we came back, and we had a smart meter. So far, what has worked for us, but we're not certain how much longer it will work. We are putting signs on our above our meters saying, do not install a smart meter. But at this point, because so much of the area has been deployed upon and the utilities are becoming far more aggressive. They were originally sending out letters in advance of coming into a community advising that they are excited to inform you that you will soon get the smart technology and the meters will be installed in your area and they will knock on your door. And then if you're not home, which you don't need to be home, then they say they'll just quickly swap meters, and they'll put a hanger on your door alerting you to reset all of your digital electronics and so forth in your home. But now they're not even doing that. They're not sending letters out to the communities now. They're going into the communities. They are not knocking on doors. They're going back to the meters because they're getting too much opposition.
And, of course, they do not want us common people objecting to the plan that is really there. It's an elitist plan going right along with this whole Agenda 21. What is that? It's the elite agenda for your life during the 21st century. Let's go to Byron, who's calling us from Idaho. Once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY here and 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Byron. Do you have a question or comment for us?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I've been listening to your program for a long time, and I really appreciate your information that you put out on many controversial topics, and you really open our eyes to things that are going on around us that for many cases we're simply not aware of it. You never hear about it. It's over the news in the newspapers or ordinary radio programs or television. But the question I wanted to ask of your guest, Deborah, is, you know, she was just telling us that many of these meters are installed without people even being aware that they're being put in there. Is there any way we can really physically recognize them, whether they are a smart meter or a digital meter? How do we know the difference? How do we recognize them?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Many of the meters here in Northern California will actually say smart meter on them. The meters are being manufactured by two different companies, as far as we understand. GE is manufacturing about 50% of them, and another company the other 50%. What I would recommend that you do is contact your local utility company, find out when they're planning to install smart meters in your area or if they already have, and find out if they have installed it on your property. That would be the easiest way to know. Again, that would be the best way in your local area. And once you find out when this is going to happen, because it's not a question of if, it is a when, start informing your neighbors immediately. You can download flyers off of RefuseSmartMeter.com and hand them out to your neighbors. That's how we started getting people informed. We have yard signs that you can order from this company. Again, that's RefuseSmartMeter.com. We've got some videos on there of what we've done as neighborhoods in the Northern California area with the signs. It's been a very, very successful way. We've also gotten big banners that we've posted in vineyards because we're here in the wine country. And we have billboard-sized banners on a number of the roads here in Northern California advising and alerting people to go to RefuseSmartMeter.com and find out why they would want to refuse a smart meter. But again, find out if and when, or when it's being installed in your area, and they can tell you based on your address whether you have it or not.
Deborah, one of the things I'm wondering is basically what's happening. You mentioned that communities, city councils, boards of supervisors will pass a resolution saying that you can't put them in here or moratorium for a year, and they're just going right ahead and doing it anyway. Now, you mentioned people taking them to small claims court. What happens if you take your utility to small claims court? They can just say, well, if you don't want the smart meter, we're just going to turn off your electricity and you can freeze to death. How can we as individuals fight these multi-billion-dollar corporations that are aligned with what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, that are pursuing the Agenda 21 plan for America, for the world?
Well, the best way, of course, is to inform everybody here. That's why I keep saying this is an SOS from California. Become aware of your community and the deployment of smart meters in your area. The small claims court actions that can be taken by people that already have smart meters is intended to clog the court systems and create such a citizen outcry.
Backlash.
A backlash. And then the other form for people that don't yet have it puts the utility company on notice that they are violating your rights to enter on your property, and you're advising them that they are not to change out your meter, and there are fines involved with that. And so, again, you can go and download that on our site. It's right on the landing page under public notice, and you will see that you can do these free PDF downloads. And it says on those toggles, download here if you have a smart meter. And if you don't have a smart meter and you don't want one, you can do something about it by downloading the paperwork that you don't want it.
Now, has anybody actually taken PG&E to court? And when they take them to court, what happens?
Well, I'm not certain that that has gotten that far. We're now building up this was just released by our group a week ago to take these actions. We're sending this out nationwide. This is the a good vehicle for everybody to jump on, because everyone can go to small claims court and everyone can fill out these letters and put their companies on notice. Again, go and take a look at these public notices. There are instructions of the intentions of this. And it is intended to be an outcry for the citizens, empowering us to do something. Because, Dr. Stan, as you mentioned, this is an enormous intention. This is a much larger intention than your local utility company. And the only way we can stop it is by our mass numbers and absolutely refuse this on your home.
Now, has anybody actually come to you, you know, who works for, works in for the utility companies and let you know that they are aware of the fact that some people do have very real health problems from this?
Well, yes, because, again, we had what I would say a whistleblower in the Southern California utility company area that as an employee has gotten headaches, and he has said about putting that special extra large meter that works as a collection device on homes and not telling the people. And he was feeling sick, and he had to really look at his life and decide what he was going to do as he found this out. It turns out that in spreading the flyers and spreading the news and people hearing about this conversation right now is how he even found out to start searching about the consequences of smart meters. Otherwise, he was being told by the utility company that they were fine. Now that he has found out differently, he feels that the utility company is like the movie, The Firm. They have absolutely no concerns towards human safety or health or rights or privacy. Nothing.
All right. That's anything else? Oh, go ahead. Byron, anything else?
Yes, I had one more question. I was just curious. Do you have on your website a listing of the states that have installed or are active in the smart meter programs?
They are all being deployed upon right now. Again, the Obama administration has released printed money, $3.4 billion of stimulus money.
$3.4 billion?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but that's a drop in the bucket.
It
they can
is.
Always print more. But basically, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what they really intend to do is transform our society to lower your living standards. This is what it's really all about. And wait till you see, of course, what's going to happen. You're going to have to get new utilities down the line so that they can have smart chips in those so they can control what you do when you turn on your... and they'll know when, of course, you're going to be turning on your clothes dryer, when you're going to be turning on your washer, when you're going to be having your air conditioning on, and certainly in the hot parts of the country, why you're not going to have air conditioning down the line. I mean, after all, why should you have air conditioning when all those people in Africa don't have air conditioning, living out in their little huts in the middle of the wilds? And so the whole idea is to lower our living standards. When you understand that, you can understand so much of what's going on today. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Byron, anything else you wanted to say?
Well, the thought just crossed my mind that we've had our utility company, our electric company, change ownership here in the last couple of years up in the inland northwest and in the Spokane area. And I'm just curious. I know we have new meters out in the back on our... I live in an apartment building. And I was just curious as to how you would recognize a smart meter from an ordinary meter.
Well, a lot of them will say smart meter on it. They don't all, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would certainly contact the manager of the apartment building, because I can tell you, as people start getting sick, the apartment owners do not realize the enormous liability issue that they face. Mm-hmm. The utility company here told us as an apartment owner that they would not be responsible for any legal actions brought by people that became sick, because they were being mandated by the Public Utility Commission that it would end up falling on the responsibility and then the pocketbooks of all the property owners. Property owners are going to be the first line of defense as this starts to mushroom into illness and people start getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So all I can say is that you need to contact the manager of the apartment complex. Find out if they've already installed smart meters on the buildings. If they have not, immediately have the management speak to the ownership of the apartment complex and let them know the liability that they are faced when folks start getting ill.
And remember, of course, if you alter the DNA, you predispose to cancer. Cancer is increasing in the country. There are effective treatments. They're not allowed in the United States. You're going to have to go overseas for them. How many people have died of cancer when treatments are available and they're not allowed in America? And we have to ask, who could anybody be that crass and indifferent to human suffering?
Well, Byron, Dr. Stan, thank you. God bless you all. Keep getting the truth out.
God bless you. And you get all those rest of those people up there in Idaho listening, will you?
You bet. I sure do. Every chance I can, I talk to everyone about
God
your
bless.
Program.
Thanks so much. Okay, we're going to get to Mary from Ohio in just a moment. Oh, once again, our guest is Deborah Tavares, and we're talking about smart meters, smart grid, smart appliances, dumb people. Mary, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, what if you don't plug these in? What if you keep your appliances unplugged? Do you get that radiation when you're unplugged?
Absolutely. It's not about plugging the appliances in. It's about how the initial collection of even your current...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
We're calling them biohazard.
Biohazard meters. I think that is great. Hey, John, we're out of time. Does that answer your question? You're going to have to call the utility company. They'll tell you. But it sounds to me like you've got an analog meter there. That's what we've had. It looks entirely different than the old meters. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, God bless. And, Deborah, I want to thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And please keep in touch with us. Keep us advised of what's going on. And something comes up, give us a call. We'll give you an audience across America.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
SOS from California.
SOS and biohazard meters, ladies and gentlemen. Biohazard meters.
That's
thanks
correct.
So much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we actually have a book. It's called Climate Gate by our good friend Brian Sussman. It goes into the background of this. It's called Climate Gate, and it goes into smart meters, smart appliances, this whole plan. And then, of course, if you want to understand Agenda 21, we have it. It's put out by the United Nations. They don't want people to get it, but we have it. We publish it. We have the original Agenda 21. It was actually experimented on here right in Santa Cruz, where I live. It's the People's Republic of Santa Cruz. They tried it here before the Agenda 21 ever came out. You need to get that. You need to get my syllabus on the sustainable development, because there we have the second leg of this plan. It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It was a report that came out after the Second Earth Summit in 1992. And, of course, it was planned by Al Gore and John Kerry and Prince Charles and this elite group who want to run your life. And so the Global Biodiversity Assessment, they talk about how they're going to have to change your living habits and your energy consumption and dramatically decrease the world's population. It's a name by the 5-6 or something like that, maybe. They'll probably let 1 or 2 billion people live. These people are serious. You have to read what they say. You can get the Global Biodiversity Assessment. That's published by Cambridge University Press. It's 1,100 and some odd pages. Or you can get our summary of it in the Sustainable Development Syllabus. Comes complete with the Earth Charter, the Global Biodiversity Assessment report summary, and then, of course, my Population Control Agenda Report, because they really do intend intentionally and purposely to kill off most of the people in the world. And if you doubt that, you Sydney, need to go to see the Georgia Guidestones there in Elberton, Georgia. It was put up by a secret society, part of this whole brotherhood that we talk of, the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. So you need to get Climate Gate by Brian Sussman, the Sustainable Development Syllabus, which has a Global Biodiversity Assessment, the Earth Charter, the Master Plan, written by David Rockefeller's nephew. And then, of course, it has a great deal of other information in there on the Georgia Guidestones. And Maurice Strong, the major architect of that, who talked about how he dreamed of creating a secret society to destroy Western civilization. This is really what it's all about. It's the destruction of Western civilization and lowering your living standards. And if you say it isn't true, you need the Sustainable Development Syllabus. You need certainly my talk on sustainable development, the 4-tape set we have on sustainable development. You need to get Agenda 21. You can specifically order that from us. And then, of course, you need to pray, understanding that behind this are powerful and evil forces. The book that explains this, it's called The Brotherhood of Darkness, and we recommend it to you. And it's 10th printing. You're not going to hear this discussed by Rush Limbaugh or certainly any of the other establishment people who are paid so well not to reveal the truth but to conceal the truth. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. If you have the internet, you can listen to us there 9 hours a day. If you have a telephone with unlimited minutes or an iPhone, you can listen to us 24 hours a day. And go to our webpage, radioliberty.com, learn how to do it. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for the other ministries, both in this country and throughout the world, and for the Christians who are being persecuted. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Lieutenant Colonel, Dean Ladd. And I've known Dean when I first got started in the conservative movement 48 years ago. Why, Dean was already here in Santa Cruz trying to educate people about, of course, what was happening, the attack on our freedom. And Dean subsequently moved away from here. We've kept in touch through the years. And he's written a wonderful book. It's a rewrite of a previous book, but the title has so much more detail here. It's called Faithful Warriors, A Combat Marine's Reminiscence of the Pacific War. And as you read this book, you almost have a feeling that you're with Dean on Guadalcanal and Tarawa and the other battles that he fought. And certainly, you know, the Marines were, you know, first, they were there, and the battles going ashore into the face of machine gun fire. In fact, the book starts out where he goes ashore on Tarawa. And, of course, they are stuck on a reef, the landing bars. They have to cross, what was it, about 600 yards of land, of water to get to the beach?
Right.
And so basically, of course, he is shot there, and he's wounded in the stomach. He's going to die, but he's able to survive. But then, of course, he takes you back through his history as a Marine and the Battle of Guadalcanal. And fascinating information, Dean. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Dean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, you go right ahead and tell us.
All right.
What motivated you to write this book?
Well, I took a trip in 1983, 6 weeks, retracing my battle, my campaign battle site areas, and I roughed it, and it was non-scheduled. I wanted to meet the local people in the process and meet the Japanese I've been up against, and it all worked out just as if the Lord directed every step I took. It was incredible the way it worked out. But then after I did that, and I had a tape recorder and took a lot of pictures, I thought, well, what am I going to do with this? So I started to write it up and outline, and it was a slow process before just getting up in the step, you know, back in that time with using a computer, and realized, by golly, you could do your own typesetting, you know, on the computer. You couldn't do that before. Up until, you know, early 1980s, you could start doing that. So I was able to go camera copy ready to have it printed by Teenage, which is a Christian organization here in Spokane. But I want to mention the most outstanding memory I have is, as you mentioned there earlier, about the landing on Tarawa. It was the first test that the Marine Corps had, what they've been practicing for years, of landing against an organized, heavily defended beach, which Tarawa was. And I got hung up on the reef 600 yards out, which many of others did too. We can you imagine an island that is in an atoll, one little part of that atoll, is 1 square mile defended by roughly 5,000 Japanese and a few Korean laborers. And landing, we landed about 7,000 or 8,000 Marines fighting 3 days on 1 square mile. All the Japanese but 17 were killed. The Marines lost 1,100 killed.
Hold that thought, Dave. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right, surely.
So we lost 1,100 Marines killed, and certainly, but the Japanese certainly were dedicated. They were willing to die. They really believed, of course, they were fighting for the emperor, who was God, and he told them here there would be no surrender. You would fight, or you would be triumphant, or you would be killed. There was no chance of surrender. Was that correct?
That is correct. They, in fact, you could not get them to surrender It'd be a great disgrace to their emperor and to their ancestors.
And so they were very brave, and they were courageous fighters.
They were.
And, of course, everything, ladies and gentlemen, was done at that time to get us to hate the Japanese, just as everything is being done today to get us to hate the Muslims, ladies and gentlemen. They're playing games with our minds. And they did that during the Second World War. The Japanese were terrible people, they were torturing Americans and doing all these terrible things. And so we had to hate the Japanese, and they had to hate us. And this is how you get a war going. But, of course, this has nothing to do with the courage of the Marines, and they were following First Lieutenant Dean Ladd. You were the team leader, you were the platoon leader, and you were going to take most of these young men that had never seen battle before, and you had to lead them in this charge to the beach.
Some had just turned 17. The thing is that I was so fortunate. I don't think you'll run across hardly anybody that got shot the way I did, where you get what they call a gut wound that goes to the abdomen and goes straight through and just barely misses your spinal nerve. And you don't survive something like that because, it goes through your bladder and it goes through your intestines. And the only reason I survived was I got immediate attention within a little over an hour, and through the help of one of my men who was not supposed to stop. Nobody's supposed to stop to help anybody else, because then everybody gets killed. But he did. He disobeyed orders. He kept me from drowning, dragged me back to a landing boat. And lo and behold, the one that was responsible for the landing boats to be there to pick us up was Eddie Albert, the famous movie actor. And I got to know him well over the years afterwards. But then, to top it all off, I got back to the troop transport and was operated on within a little over an hour. And I had a surgeon who had been an abdominal specialist at Mayo Clinic. Can you imagine that?
Well, you were very lucky to be alive. And I think it's important for people to understand the orders were, if somebody falls, don't help them. I mean, we've got to get the people on shore. And of course, the orders were, in fact, you told the fellow who saved your life, you're disobeying orders. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. That's right.
So you're very, very fortunate, I think, Dean, that God had a plan for you, and maybe it was to write this book.
Now, you being a doctor...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dean Ladd. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dean tells the story. He's a first lieutenant. He's leading this platoon of Marines. The previous couple of days had tried to get ashore, and they'd not been able to. So they send his group into this one area where the heaviest fire is, and they're actually wading through water into the face of machine gun fire. And the hope is that some of them will get on shore and be able then to take out the machine gun nests and the Japanese who are on shore, firing safely at the Marines. 1,100 Marines died of taking this little one-square-mile atoll. Why was this really important, or was it important at all?
It was very important in that you had to take steps. And in other words, you had to gain an airfield that could not be sunk, and it had to be within fighter plane range of the next target. So it had to be that, you had to do that step to get to the next one, which was in the Marshall Islands.
And I think one of the really the interesting things about the strategy that was used, General MacArthur used it, rather than trying to take every island, he just jump-frogged islands.
Yeah,
if he didn't need them, he just left them there, and they could sit there as long as the rest of the war.
Exactly.
He would certainly not take every island. He would only take the islands that he needed to as they progressively advanced. And then, of course, the Japanese could not provide supplies for the people on the islands, and they would either starve or certainly, but very, very few of them surrendered. They were very courageous fighters. They were fighting for their emperor, and they were fighting for their country.
You see, from the time that they were children, they were indoctrinated in what you call the Bushido Code, that you would not be an embarrassment to your emperor and your ancestors, and you would not be captured, and you would kill yourself. Before you'd commit hara kiri.
And so basically, of course, the order was, oh, with this platoon, how many men were there in your platoon, Dean?
Roughly 31.
All right, fine. And, of course, the whole idea was nobody stopped. If somebody got shot, you left them there to drown.
You had to, yeah.
You had to, because they had to get ashore. How many of your men actually got ashore out of your...
I say we had 50% casualties.
50%
casualties. And most of them were just getting into the shore. Other units were worse than that, actually, too.
But of course, then once they were on shore, then of course they could try to take out the defenders. And how long did they have to fight there on Tarawa?
It lasted 3 days. The worst part was the first 2 days of establishing beachhead.
Why couldn't they simply use planes, and why couldn't they use bombardment?
Well, they did.
And take out all those things before, so rather than sending our Marines into open machine gun fire. That's just suicidal.
Well, you know, the thing is that this being the first, we didn't know how effective close air support would be, how effective naval gunfire would be, and it was just one mass of smoke and flames coming up, and maybe half of them were killed, probably in the bombardment. But it was nowhere near what they thought how effective it would be. The next campaign was a couple of months later, well, in February, and that was in the Marshalls, and it was an entirely different picture, entirely different picture. Those lessons learned were applied.
All right, fine. Well, of course, then after, of course, Dean tells the story of getting shot in the abdomen and I'd be taken to the hospital ship, and most of the people who were with him in his unit did not make it. In other words, they died there in the water. Half got ashore, the other half perished. Did any of the others get back to the ship?
Yeah. We.
I mean, I'm talking about the people who were on the initial charge. Those who were wounded. As they advanced to the shore. I mean, we had to wade through water 600 yards into the face of machine.
Water being up to about your waist deep, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I've got to mention here, last September, I was the guest of the Marine Corps. I went with 21 active duty people. We went down and recovered the remains of some of the missing that have been there ever since. And we were gone for 1 week. We spent 5 hours of that. The last 5 hours was on Tarawa with a ceremony where we recovered these remains and loaded them on the C-130 aircraft. It was quite an experience, I'll tell you. And there's a lot. Anybody that's listening would be interested. They can go to a website. They can go to CNN Tarawa. They can go to Tarawa on the web, or just put Tarawa, period. Or they can type in my name, Dean Ladd, and Google it, and you'll come up with a poem I wrote about what happened. The best way of describing something that's horrible is by a poem, and it's a very efficient way, so you'll find that in there as well. Now, the thing is that I recovered, and in about 2 months, I'm still weak, but I still went back. We were such a shortage of manpower, especially of young company grade officers, and if you look like you're anywhere near recovering, you went back to duty again. You were light duty for a while, but then you would be next thing you know, you're back in combat again.
Well, did you see combat after?
Yeah, so then after that, we went to Hawaii, and we got replacements and new training, and then went into Saipan, which is in the Marianas, north of Guam. And that was a much larger operation. It was a mountainous place, but it was tough. There was a lot of heavy artillery fire we had to put up with there. And then after that, we took Tinian, which is just a short distance down within artillery range, actually, between the two islands. And Tinian was where the Enola Gay took off from and dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Well, is there an airfield there on...
Yes, you bet there is.
On Tarawa today?
There is one on Tarawa, too, and that's where we had our what we call repatriation ceremony. Here.
Well, let's get back to
September.
Let's get back to Guadalcanal because, of course, you tell the story of Guadalcanal, and here you are. You're a second lieutenant. You're sort of you don't even have a command, but you've come up through the ranks, and you've gone to officers' training school. They're desperate for commissioned officers, and you get a commission, and so you're a commissioned officer, and you're going in. The first invasion was Guadalcanal. What about Guadalcanal? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, as you read this book, it's just like you were there with Dean. And knowing you personally, well, of course, it meant a great deal more to me. But tell us the story of Guadalcanal. Basically, of course, this was your first time you ever were in battle and first time you ever killed a man.
The
first man you ever killed was a sniper who was out trying to kill you. And
right.
It was just kill or be killed. Just that
right.
Simple.
That's right. Well, you know, Guadalcanal is known as the turning point. And that's where we stopped retreating, and we decided to be the aggressor finally and take them on. So that's what happened, and it was to gain an airfield, which the Japanese had just finished. I was there in 3 months. The last 3 months of the fighting lasted 6 months total, and I had some very close calls there. I had one sniper shot at me and just barely missed me, and I saw him. That got and did him in, but I had some very close calls there as well.
And basically, of course, Henderson Field was there, and that's why Guadalcanal was so important, was because Henderson Field was there. But now, was that the Battle of the Coral Sea? You described this this terrible sea battle there, where, of course, the Japanese lost a couple of the battleships, and we lost, I think, was that the Arizona? That went down?
We lost the Lexington there, I believe, in the Coral Sea.
Okay.
The thing is, we had the worst naval disaster we had was called the Sea Battle of Savo Island, and that was the night after the Marines landed there. And I didn't land in the first part. Part of our division did, but we lost four cruisers that evening in a matter of a little over an hour. And the Japanese didn't lose any ships; they just snuck right in and just really creamed us. It was horrible.
And with a lot of casualties there on the ships that
were down. You know, the naval battles were horrific around Guadalcanal. We saw one battle at night. We were up on kind of a ridge, and we look on watches, middle of November, and at nighttime. And the two navies were just slugging it out and are free for all, and they didn't even know themselves who was friend and who was foe. And each side lost about the same number of ships. And it was during that kind of fighting that the Sullivan brothers, five of them, they all went down in one ship. They became quite well known over having one family together, which wasn't a good idea.
Well, basically, when was the Battle of the Coral Sea? That was supposedly one of the
That was a little before Guadalcanal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so basically, the Japanese had a tremendous navy, but of course, their ships were destroyed by attrition, and certainly, then of course, America's the forces just kept advancing, and of course, the Japanese knew they were going to lose the war, and certainly 6 months before the battle ended, they offered to surrender, but our fearless leaders in Washington, D.C. wouldn't let them do it. And they sent our boys into Okinawa and Iwo Jima after the Japanese had offered to surrender. But, of course, we never tell the Americans.
No, they didn't offer. They didn't show any intent to surrender.
Oh, I talked to General Wedemeyer, who was in charge there in China, and he told me that they'd gotten messages the Japanese had offered to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. He was actually in charge of naval American planning.
I'm well aware of him, you bet.
Right, he was a great patriot, and what a wonderful opportunity to spend a couple of weekends with. But that's a story for another time.
Yeah, that is.
But basically, of course, the Battle of Guadalcanal was a very important battle. And here was a young second lieutenant there, and certainly in charge of platoon. And, of course, when you're charging up the hill, why, the men are looking at you to lead.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're going into the face of machine gun fire. And, and then, of course, people all around you getting killed. Pretty frightening thing.
Yeah.
And you sort of live that with Dean as you read his book. We'll be back in just a moment. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Brave men fighting, dying. Well, Chris, that one story you tell about trying to take the ridge there with a machine gun fire on top.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
A Major General, O.K. Steele, U.S. Marine Corps. And Dean actually retired as Lieutenant Colonel in the Marine Corps Reserve. And how long ago did you retire?
Well, it was 69, actually. Well, 69, and then started drawing retirement pay at my age of 60, which was in 1980.
Right, of course. But I knew Dean Levy. He worked in. I think you. We worked at Lockheed here. Didn't
I worked.
You?
I worked at Lockheed for 23 years. I was in aerospace programs, and our main projects were first with NASA. We manufactured what is called the Ascent vehicle, the vehicle that would be the next stage after the booster. and it was a vehicle that put you into either the correct orbit or injected you in the proper trajectory to go to Venus, go to Mars, or to orbit the moon. And then after that, that same vehicle was used to place a reconnaissance satellite in orbit to monitor what the Russians are doing regarding missile launches, preparing for it.
Right. Well, of course, Dean has had a full life, but it's just his story there of the terrible and ferocious battles. And, you know, certainly when you're a platoon leader and so many of your men are killed in battle, and it must weigh on you very heavily.
Each campaign, if you're in the assault unit, each campaign, you know, you're losing maybe, say, 25 or 30%. And so if you've been through four campaigns, well, you know, you're up to the 100% there.
And basically, of course, you wonder when your time is up, and you really thought that you would never get off the out of the lagoon there at Tararua.
Yeah.
And you talk about suddenly you get back to the landing boat, and suddenly a man pulls you aside. His face is, his eye is shot out, blood streaming down. He helps you on the boat, and then, of course, you both get back to the hospital ship. But, of course, he dies, and you lived.
Now we have, I'm 90 years old, and I'm just one of the very few lucky survivors, really. Our reunions are down now to just a handful, when they used to be upwards of 1,000.
Was that in the invasion of Tararua you're speaking of now?
No, I'm talking about just in World War II in general.
I see.
And, yeah. And, you know, when you get in the age of the 80s, well, that's where they're dropping off.
Yeah, I notice the same thing when I go to my reunions, my medical school reunions, and I think this probably 2 years from now we'll have our last of reunion 2002 after of 2012. That's 60 years out of medical school, and there won't be very many people left at that point. But I was the youngest person in medical school class, so hopefully we'll be around for a little bit while longer. I hope I can be along and have my facilities as well as as you do, Dean. Certainly, it's been
I'm very fortunate.
You certainly are.
No, I was going to ask you. You being a doctor. I was always under the impression that whenever you have surgery, it shortens your life. But apparently, that was not my case. Now, I've had cancer, prostate cancer operation. I've had two hernia operations. I had of course, the war wound, and then gallbladder removal. And you'd think, and here I'm living 90, and I don't seem like I'm, you know, I there's no sign of any problem.
Well, I'm certainly glad for that, and I'm so glad that you got this book published. And how long has it been out? What sort of response are you getting?
It went out in May of 09.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the sales, for instance, are about average for what they are for the kind of books, their history books that come that Naval Institute Press puts out. The Naval Institute Press, by the way. They've been around since right after the Civil War, and they specialize on naval subjects. They're very very well organized outfit. I'll tell you, I was very fortunate to get them. The only reason I guess I was successful in getting them to publish is that a friend of mine is one of their favorite authors, and. When you work with a publisher like that, you got to go through the different steps. You go start with the acquisition manager, then you work. If that works out, then you're having a peer review based on a little part of a sample of your writing.
Hold that thought, Dean. We'll be back here in just a moment. I guess Dean Ladd, Colonel Dean Ladd, and the book Faithful Warriors.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
I did. Don't be late.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course that song was sung in 1943. That's a rendition of God Bless America that Kate Smith sang in 1943. And it was a whole different world then, wasn't it, Dean?
I met Kate Smith when I was in San Diego. About 1941, and she was touring this one, the Star of India ship. And when I was on there, I noticed that she had signed in. And I said, Kate Smith. She said, yes, she's a pretty large woman. And that was the one. And so I'd come aboard just as she was leaving, apparently. Small world, huh?
It certainly is. Well, she was a lovely lady. She actually retired in Raleigh. Pardon me, in Raleigh, North Carolina, I guess, where David, where our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy lives. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. And as we talk about your experiences there in Guadalcanal and Tarawa, and of course all the other campaigns there in the South Pacific, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dean Ladd. Colonel Dean Ladd, Lieutenant Colonel Dean Ladd, retired, and the story of his experiences in the South Pacific. And it's almost, you know, you're almost like you're with him as he's, of course, leading the platoon ashore there in Tarawa, and the bullets are suddenly landing all around him. The people on the right of him are falling, and the people on the left of him are falling. And finally, of course, he has an abdominal wound. The bullet goes right through him and at least right through his intestines and bladder. And just very, very few people actually survive that. One of the Marines disobeyed orders and dragged him back to the landing craft. Many of the people didn't have anybody to help them. The orders were simply keep going. You've got to get on the beach. The only way to stop the enemy is to get on the beach. And then, of course, you can protect yourself somewhat. Otherwise, you're standing erect, wading through waist-deep water, going onto the beach. And basically, if it hadn't been for your training, I mean, it's illogical that people would suddenly charge into a machine gun fire. I mean, it's not logical to do that sort of thing.
Well, you have no choice, really, you know. You can only go one way.
That's right. And, of course, unfortunately, the landing craft was supposed to have been able to come directly up on the beach.
What happened was that... The Japanese had four large guns, 8-inch naval guns, and they started shooting at our transport, and our transports pulled further off, and so that slowed down our schedule, so that we came in later than we planned. Therefore, the tide had gone out a little more, and so we didn't have that little bit of clearance that we thought we would have, wasn't there. That's a case of Murphy's Law. Anything go wrong, it will, and that's what happened.
And of course, he got stuck on the reef, and then they let down the front, and they've got to wade 600 yards through the fire in the face of machine gun fire, and of course, people all around them are dropping, and suddenly they lost 1,100 Marines, and how many other were wounded there in Tarawa, we don't know. Well, our telephone number, if you have a question for Dean, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, but Dean, how can people get copies of your book?
All right,
how can people? Do you have a website?
No, but I suggest that they just go to Amazon.com would be one, or any of those book distributors, or go to their local bookstore and order it. Either way, and by the way, the reviews all give it a 5-star rating, like an Amazon.com. I know only one or two of the reviewers, so I don't even know them, but they did a terrific job.
Well, it's an excellent book, and certainly, it starts off with the invasion of Tarawa, and certainly the anticipation is they get onto the boats, and then, of course, they're expecting to go ashore. Instead of going ashore, they circle all night long. And then of course, what happened was the first wave of Marines had tried to take the center of Red Beach, and they had simply been decimated. And then, of course, they a St. Indian's unit, and half of them died on the way to shore, but the other half made it ashore, and then eventually were able to subdue the island, and the Japanese fought and fought bravely, but of course with superior air power and naval bombardment, why eventually, of course, they were able to secure the island, and they needed that as an airfield. That's what it was all about. Island jumping to get an airfield, and of course it was the air power that really was the decisive factor in this war.
Well, I should mention one other part of this, though. You mentioned, couldn't we have better air support? Well, what happened? There was an aircraft carrier called the Liscombe Bay, and it was sunk during this period. And it went down with all hands. They lost over 1,000 went down with that ship, the Liscombe Bay aircraft carrier, the small one. So that was a big blow for it. Not many people know about that, what happened on there.
And so that limited the amount of air cover you would have in air attacks on the places there on the beach.
Mm-hmm. You know, you saw the poem I wrote, Curtains of Fire.
No, I don't recall that.
Well, what I could do, I think I sent you a copy, I'm not sure. Well, you know, I could read part of this. I don't know how we could fit this in. Time-wise, on how things work out, you could have a break or what you want.
Go right ahead.
Well, we'll see how it works, and then you can monitor. Maybe we could break it up some other way. This is the way it's called, Curtains of Fire, because we had many machine guns shooting at us, and they were just spraying. It was just going back and forth like a curtain. And the way it goes is heavy resistance, many casualties, landing craft destroyed, units scattered, Baseo Islet on Tarawa. November 20th, 1943, the Marines' worst challenge in history. Naval gunfire inadequate, tide lower than hoped. Radio communications disrupted. Marines on the Sheridan troop transport climb down cargo nets into landing boats. 1st Battalion, 8th Marines enters Aton Lagoon and circles all night awaiting orders. Finally, seasick men welcome dawn of the second day. Orders never received. So, continued circling 20 hours, a first. Long, fatiguing night. Men crammed on the deck like sardines. Battalion commander, boat chugs by. Quote, we're going in at Red Beach 2, unquote. I glance at my men. They glance back. Expected to land on the left flank. Our boats arrive at line of departure, parallel to landing beaches, arrayed like a cavalry. Squadron, waiting for bugles to sound charge, coxswains nervously revving engines in neutral, boats champing at the bit, engines blasting, hearing muffled, adrenaline surges as we clutch our weapons, looking at the island, focusing on the task ahead, getting ready, received go signal, our coxswain responds, engine bellows and beeps and belches smoke, water turns behind, stern dip. Boat leaps forward, bucketing, bouncing, pulling ahead, getting closer to the island. Then as we hear tiny objects flying by, zip, 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 not angry hornets, they're killer bullets. Within range of enemy machine guns, splat, splat here, splat there, splat to the left, splat to the right, splat in front of us. At the reef, deadly curtain of fire spitting from many machine guns, heavy machine guns now join the fray. Along with annex boat guns and mortars, destroying many landing craft. And then it goes on. If you want to break, let me know if you want to make a break.
No, you go right ahead, Dean, right. Because I can identify with what you're describing. Go right ahead.
Killing and wounding many of our men. Men look grim, resigned to their fate. No stopping now. Keep fear under control. Do your duty. Don't let buddies down. Unexpectedly scrape bottom. Metal grinding on coral. Stopped abruptly, thrown forward, cursing that we've run aground. Still 600 yards to go, the coxswain proclaims. This is as far as we go. Ramp screeches open and drops splashing into the water. There before us, Baseo beckons in all of its menacing glory. Seen from hell, inferno of fire and smoke, bellowing, orange fire, red fire, black smoke curling skyward. First down the ramp, clutching my carbine, shouting, let's go. Leap into water to unknown depth, relieved at only waist deep. Enemy guns rip us apart indiscriminately as we race helplessly shoreward through overlapping patterns of fire, like shooting fish in a barrel. No place for protection. Men get hit, cry for help, plead for corpsmen, going under, being chopped to pieces, sounds of battle everywhere, sweeping curtains of fire, machine guns rattling, a cacophony of staccato, hammering, geysers of water, fire and body parts. Keep moving forward, hold your rifles above water, into the teeth of inflating gunfire with incredible courage. I wonder how long my luck will hold. Are those our planes saving us? Oh, they're attacking that wrecked freighter grounded on the reef, trying without success to terminate enemy machine guns placed there. My adrenaline is flowing like an electric current. Finally, inevitably, it happens, a sickening splat, like an inner tube snapped across my bare abdomen. Sharp, stinging sensation. I'm hit, I hear myself say. A bullet has struck me nearly dead center, below the navel. Struck just above waterline, a gut shot wound, worst of all. Discard helmet, carbine, walkie-talkie, pack, and web belt. Energy draining out of me, going into shock. Keep head above water. POC Thomas Sullivan hastens to me, asking, Lieutenant, where are you hit? Pulls up my jacket and checks my wound. Disobeying orders, stopping for wounded rather than hurrying to the beach. POC John Dudley applies a bandage. Sulfonamide powder floats away. You're going to get hit too, I utter in a weak voice. Leave me. Get to the beach. They ignore me. Sullivan asks, should I take you to the beach or to the ship? I respond, to the ship for the best medical care. And then it goes on here. On page 3.
Go right ahead. I mean, it's a gripping story. I've read it, but I want to hear it again. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Sullivan drags me to the nearest LCBP landing boat at the reef. He momentarily stops. I ask if he's okay. He's just resting. Reach an LCBP being loaded with wounded, gathered in front of the ramp. Ramp is raised about 3/4 for protection. Wounded are pushed singly over the top. A husky man waits nearby, unrecognizable due to a gory eye wound. I motion for him to go before me. He is boosted over the ramp. Then Sullivan and Duffy attempt to push me up. The unknown man exerts his waning energy to help me and another. He reaches down and lifts me up with his one arm. I tumble down into the deck next to my unknown helper. Over a dozen more lie bandaged, bloody, and writhing in pain. Boat races back to the Sheridan, bumping hard over the water's corrugated surface. My wounded abdomen complains with each jolt. At least if I die, I'll be buried at sea rather than on that island. I recall my parents. They will be devastated. But maybe I won't die after all. If only the torturous ride to the ship would stop. Coxswain encourages that we are now approaching Sheridan. Hoisted aboard ship in a litter basket next to the one who had helped me. Identified nearly 60 years later as probably Sergeant James Maple, Company C. I gasp, we made it. He murmurs, you're going to make it now. Those were the only spoken words. I made it, but he didn't. Buried at sea later that day, leaving a vivid memory. So, you know, that is appropriate for a poem, isn't it?
It certainly is. Did you write a poem about it, did you say?
I wrote that poem about it, and it's based on the words that are in the book. I used some of the words, but just put them into a poem.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment. But these were brave men who went off to a fight there, and they were fighting for America. America had been attacked by the Japanese, and of course it was we would either win or they would win. There's only one worse thing than war, and that's losing a war. And our men, certainly our Marines, were trained to follow orders under any circumstances, to do what they were told. And when they were told, of course, to advance on the beach into the face of brutal machine gun fire, they did it. And half of them got on the beach, the other half were wounded, and many of them perished. But fortunately, Dean survived, and he's here to tell the story. And it's a story that people need to understand, that war is hell, it really is. And as soon as you, if he follows you, you follow him from the point of a young first lieutenant, never in battle, shooting, having to kill the first man. He's a sniper because he's going to kill him if he doesn't. And then, of course, time and time again, I tested in battle. And suddenly you were in how many different battles there?
Well, I was in four campaigns. I was in Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Saipan, and Tinian.
And where were you when the war ended then?
I ended up at Quantico, Virginia, and I was on the staff as a company commander at the at Officers Candidate School, and then at what they call the basic school, that where an officer has been commissioned, and many are from Annapolis, and then they get the nuts and bolts of what's like, you know, actually being an officer. In charge of men.
But, of course, in the Marine Corps, you're an officer. You've got to lead, and certainly if you're a platoon sergeant, certainly, and you can't show fear, even though you're frightened yourself. The men depend upon you.
That's right. And you've got to rely. You got to rely on those very seasoned sergeants. That they were just fantastic. If we didn't have those people as the cadre at the beginning of the war, we could never have expanded the way we did. The Marine Corps started out in 1939 when I joined, only 20,000. And by the time the war was over, we had nearly a million, a half million.
And, of course, they always sent the Marines in for the landings, and of course, there was sort of a little disdain for the Army, wasn't there, among the Marines?
Well, the Army were trained, you know, they were there for the after the beachhead had been gathered, then they were to carry on, and that's usually the way it's supposed to work. It hasn't been that, has it, though, in the last few years. They end up being in Iraq and Afghanistan all the time, but that's the way it happens to be.
But of course, there, for as far as the landings are concerned, why the Marines would get the beachhead, and then once the Marines had secured the beachhead, then they'd bring in the Army units. And of course, you comment that they had a spirit. You never abandoned your men. I mean, if they were wounded, you got them. If they were dead, why you got them and you got sealed. They got
you never let
your men.
You never left your wounded on the field. You recovered them. And this is what happened. For instance, a good example of that was where the Marines had to withdraw from the Chosin Reservoir in the Korean War, and they brought their wounded out with them and their dead out with them. It was incredible.
Everybody was. That was Chesty Puller.
That was Chesty Puller.
one of the famous stories of there, apparently, after the Red Chinese had come into the war, and they'd completely surrounded the Marine regiment there at the Chosin Reservoir. And they were just, the Marines had taken a tremendous beating. And the story is told, I don't know if it's true or not, but Chesty Puller called in his officers and said, "Gentlemen, the Red Chinese are to the north, south, east, and west. We've got them right where we want them. We can shoot any direction and hit them." And whether he said it or not, it's a wonderful story. It's been quoted many times.
I met him right after the Korean War, and I was on active duty for training down at Coronado in California, and he was there for our graduation, and he was guy like Pat, and he was unhappy with the people that he thought were gold bricks, and he got in trouble with on that same course Patton did, he was telling us about it. Says there's a man 2,000 years ago that got crucified, and that's what happened to me.
All right. Well, that's what happens if you really want to win. You have to go along with what the establishment says, and many times they don't want to win our wars. We'll be right back. Well, Dean, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and then we'll let you go. I know it's getting a little bit late, but appreciate so much your being with us this evening. And Sydney, of course, Pat.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
He's going to work out his bill material and his provisioning list, and he's going to go out and find somebody who's going to provide the poles and somebody who's going to inspect, and he's going to everything, every little step of the way. He's going to make a little sketch of what has to be done, and now everything is done mostly by just a long process.
It certainly is. Well, Dean, God bless you. Thank you very much for writing the book. Again, the book is Faithful Warriors, Combat Marines, Remembrances of the Pacific Wars. God bless, Dean. Please keep in touch.
All right.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Dean Ladd, an old friend of mine, and certainly I've been looking forward to doing the interview with him and helping, as he tells the incredible story about the battles he fought on in the South Pacific, and, of course, all the Marines he knew who fought bravely and bled and suffered and died. Well, ladies and gentlemen, an awful lot of people have fought for this country. The question is, what are you willing to do for the country today? Are you willing to become involved in this truly epic struggle for the survival of Christian civilization? Because, of course, the battle is being fought here and not elsewhere. The battle is not being fought in Afghanistan and certainly in Iraq today. We have our soldiers fighting in Pakistan, you're not being told. We have our soldiers, special forces units in Yemen. We have our special forces units in Somalia. And we're killing people over there on a regular basis, civilians. Why are we fighting over there? Who is funding the Islamic terrorists? Well, of course, the Bank of London, the CIA. Oh, you say you don't believe the Bank of London's doing this? Well, you need to get the article out of the Belfast Telegraph. It was Lord James, a member of the British House of Lords, got up on November 3rd or 4th and gave a talk there at the House of Lords about how he had spent billions of pounds to the Irish terrorists and to the terrorists in North Africa, which, of course, is Islamic Jihad, and funded by the Bank of London. We, of course, have the book The Devil's Game, going into the CIA, created this whole Islamic terrorist movement that's killing our boys today. If you want to know what really happened on September 11th, you need to get Richard Gage's excellent book entitled 9/11 Truth. That's 9/11 Truth. And over 1,350 architects and engineers have said, we don't believe the government's story about why those buildings came down. We want an independent evaluation. We interviewed Senator Mike Gravel this morning. He's trying to get initiatives across the country calling for that because, of course, if we haven't been told the truth, then, of course, there is no reason for those brave men to have been sent overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Afghanistan and certainly in Iraq. Well, we hope that you'll want to get that DVD. It's called 9/11 Truth. And then, of course, you hope you'll want to get the book, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand what's going on. We hope you'll get my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story. Iraq, The Untold Story, and then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the other material that we have. We have a syllabus that goes with that. And in that syllabus, you'll see the article out of the Chicago Tribune on the 15th of August, as I remember, 1945, the very day we signed the peace agreement on the USS Liberty with the Japanese, on pointing out that the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months, and the invasion of Okinawa and Iwo Jima were totally unnecessary. And I know this is true because certainly I know that they had been trying because General Wedemeyer told me that he had gotten the second message. They'd intercepted it where the Japanese were trying to surrender. And they'd sent the message to the Russians, and instead of, of course, the American knew that, but that allowed Russia to move into Manchuria and take all the weapons there for them to get the Japanese to surrender. They take them to their slave labor camps. But you're never going to hear this elsewhere. We got the article from the Chicago Tribune, and then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Let us all be grateful.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is the 4th of January, 2010. Thank you so very much for joining us today, caring about your world, wanting to know more, wanting to put the pieces of the puzzle together, or should we say the pieces of the puzzles together. Amazing how it just continues to build. We're going to be talking about some of those puzzle pieces today on the Power Hour, and of course, the bird story in Beebe, Arkansas, the birds falling out of the air in Beebe, Arkansas. That's a story that you can't believe where they've gone on it. It's probably the biggest, most stupidest answer that you could imagine as to why the bird